Live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's the Zach Ballinger Show, where we help you find your directions, your passion, and purpose. My name is Zach Ballinger. I am your host. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We've got a great guest. Before we get started, we are streaming via live YouTube. So if you got any questions, pop them into the comment box. We'll make sure to ask them to our guests at the end of the show. As always, during the week, you guys can email me, Zach@ZachBallinger.com. Email me, and I'll make sure to ask the guest your questions that you have. So without further ado, Zach, thank you so much for joining the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Zach.
And so kind of tell us for the audience, you know, they don't really know what your career is and what you've been working on. Tell us what's kind of been, you know, you're doing career-wise, what you're excited about, all that good jazz.
Yeah. Yeah. So I run a video speed dating app called Filter Off. And really the impetus was being on online dating and being really sick and tired of swiping and messaging and the back and forth. And when you finally get on the date, maybe you spend money, you take that commute, and then you quickly realize there's no chemistry, or maybe you're not attracted. And I tried experimenting with video chatting. And I would ask my dates beforehand if they'd be open to FaceTiming. And the ones that were, I quickly realized how amazing it was. Like, you were able to really get to see if you had some sort of chemistry with this person. And it inspired me to launch my own video speed dating app.
Amazing. So, and you thought of this idea. How did you go about doing this? Because, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have ideas for apps or things like that. So how did you get started and get in having your own company now and launching this platform?
Yeah. So the app itself, when we first started, the ideation was probably about 2.5 years ago. We got out of beta 1 month before the pandemic, coincidentally. But it just started with pen and paper, wireframing. My co-founder and I, he does all the dev and design. I do all the marketing and grow the company. And yeah, so it's definitely pivoted, especially during the pandemic, in terms of being very event and community focused. So yeah, we've really grown. But yeah, so just we teamed up. It was very heavy in the beginning on like just ideation and then him doing all the development and design. And then it went very heavy on my part where it was grow this platform and get press and get new organizations running events and new users. So it kind of goes, I mean, very hand in hand.
It's so amazing. You know, you really can do anything you want. And so you saw a need in the marketplace. You had figured this out by your own frustration with the I guess, dating apps that you were using. And then you said, hey, why don't I just create my own? And, you know, there's not really one out there that does this. So what kind of differentiates your app from, I guess, the other dating apps that are out there? I guess that the video feature, like you mentioned, but anything else that kind of...
Yeah. So we're purely a video speed dating app. So there is no swiping. It's video first. Our core tenet is face-to-face interaction. We don't want you to be messaging back and forth and just staying on the app. We want you to actually video chat and get to know the person. A lot of dating apps have now added a video feature, but it's still in the old paradigm, which is swiping or browsing and then messaging. When you're when you join one of these apps, you're not thinking, oh, I'm going to video chat with this person. You're just trying to connect. It's that dopamine rush, just hours endlessly swiping. With Filter Off, it's an experience. Like, you can't actually use it on the toilet like other swipe apps. Like, women are doing their makeup beforehand. You're drinking a glass of wine. It really is an experience. And then also to also add, it's very community focused. So we run our virtual dating events. We have some that are public in this city, in different cities around the world. But then we also have community-based events. So whether it's religious-based or a lifestyle-based, and there are communities that join this event. So you're meeting other people and speed dating virtually with other people that are part of this community.
And I guess the kind of the neat thing is it's a good safety feature too, because I guess on, you know, apps, mm-hmm. you can create fake profiles, or you mm-hmm. don't know if it's really that person. Well, I guess this kind of eliminates any thinking behind that without having to give your number away.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you use these other dating apps. There are so many bots on these apps. There's so many people that aren't even interested in meeting aside from scams. But it's like, why are you on a dating app if you're not actually interested in dating? Yet there are so many people that are. And that's the beauty of Filter Off. It attracts a more serious dater.
As you've taken this 2.5 year adventure that you've been on and this journey, and you look through it and you put a lot of work into it, like you said, a lot of heavy lifting at first, what have you been most passionate about? What's your been your biggest vision and your what makes you excited about this?
I mean, growing it, like when we got cover in the New York Times and the BBC, it was such a cool experience. Like we toasted, we had some champagne. It was just like an awesome experience to kind of have that. It kind of just like gave me confidence that, wow, this is an app that one of the top publications in the world wants to cover. And that's what's so special. And then creating dates. We've created over 230,000 dates since the pandemic, close to 1,500 events. We've created 4 marriages. So like all of that gets me excited, and just growing this platform and getting new press and getting new users. It's just awesome. It's so much fun.
I bet that's pretty rewarding too, especially the 4 marriages that you've been able yeah. to connect people that actually have taken a lot further than just dating, but actually made a commitment to a life partner. So that's got to be pretty satisfying as well.
Thank you.
Now, on the flip side, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have these ideas, and you know, they go through the process. What's some of the challenges that people should know about embarking on this adventure? Not just a dating app, but could you speak on like an app or a business idea in general? What's some of the challenges or difficulties that people should know?
Yeah, I mean, I've been entrepreneurial since I'm 30, since I was 21. And I've had these other projects fail in the past. And this is like really one of the first ones that are really succeeding. And I've taken a lot of my learnings and experiences and really applied it from picking the right co-founder to growing and releasing, even if you may not necessarily totally feel ready, but being nimble and being able to create an amazing product. So a lot of learnings, but yeah, I mean, it's tough growing a project, whether you want it to be like a side project or potentially your full-time gig. Like, first of all, it requires a ton of time. It is extremely, if you do have a co-founder, it's like a marriage. So you have to like go into bed with the right person, or you will likely have some sort of partner breakup. And ideas are meaningless. It's all about execution. And yeah, I mean, the list can go on and on and on.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point, because most of the entrepreneurs I talk to, they failed at multiple businesses, and people are like, wait a minute, they're a good entrepreneur. Absolutely. Because what they've done is they might have had 100 different ideas and thrown them up in the air to see which one will stick. And you'll not find many entrepreneurs that haven't failed at an idea or concept, and then they moved on for it to do bigger and better things. So it's a great story. Thank you for sharing that. Now, if we took you back, I know you said you've always been an entrepreneur since a young age, but let's take you back into a time machine even further back, where you're in grade school. And did you ever have a dream career that you wanted to do?
I mean, when I was really young, I wanted to be a veterinarian. I loved animals. I've always been creative. When I was very, very little, I used to play with like toys for like hours on end. I was like into Star Wars and just had like massive battles. And I just got lost in my own thoughts and world. And it was fun. So maybe, and I still bring that similar mindset where I get super excited about like the vision and building into it. And it's so cool for us to now have this app, this platform that literally came from our heads. And but again, constant iteration. But yeah, that's the short story.
Yeah, and the reason I ask that is because of my book, Don't Be a Zombie, How to Find a Career You Love. One of the things I do is I try to rewind people's past and take them back to their childhood and have them go in and see if teachers or parents or there's been one common theme that's been in the background the whole time. And you mentioned something that, yeah, you know, the veterinarian might not have anything to do with that. That might be more of a hobby or a passion for animals. But you mentioned about being creative. That's a lot about what new business ideas is about, is creativity. And so, you know, you see that in your past, and now it's become in your passion. So that's the reason I ask about that. So definitely thank you for sharing. Now, what was your education or certifications? Did you go to college? All that good stuff.
Yeah. So I went to Syracuse University. I did my undergrad in history. Originally, in college, I wanted to go to law school and do sports law. And I did my minor in marketing. And then, like I mentioned, by senior year, I started my first startup and ended up not working out. And about a year later, I got a scholarship. I started a new company. I got a scholarship to go back to Syracuse to any of the programs. I decided to do information management because I felt technology, just to have a strong understanding, is super important. In today's age. And I wanted to feel more confident. It was kind of like an insecurity, like, how can I run a company if I'm not tech savvy? So I ended up doing my master's and yeah.
Wow. Great story. Now, what is a typical day look like in this app project that you do? So let's say, you know, somebody wants to, they've got a great business idea or an app idea, you know, walk us through that. I know it's difficult for people to say because, you know, the best answer is every day changes. Even for me, every day's different. But what does a typical day look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, at this point, given we have, the app is past beta. Like, we've started bringing in some revenue. Like, we've had a number of users. I mean, a lot of it's just emails getting from users, whether it's comments or questions. So some like customer support. Some are replies from my email campaign. So I'm always running email campaigns, sending like hundreds of emails a day, trying to get new organizers to join, to create events and new communities. So a lot of the time they'll ask to set up calls with me to learn more about the platform. I did create a landing page, so it kind of streamlined a lot of that process. And we're going to, and from my learning of just jumping on so many calls, we're actually making a self-serve side of things. So a community or organization could just create their own event self-service versus me always having to hop on like a 30-minute call. So some of that, some is just speaking to the press and media opportunities and doing interviews and being on like this YouTube live. So there's a number of different things. And then also just speaking to my co-founder and thinking about the product and next steps and things like that.
Where's your vision for this? You know, you've got it going right now. You mentioned the numbers and the statistics growing pretty good. You mentioned some figures about how many dates your app created. Where do you want this to be in a few years? Where's your ultimate goals lie?
Yeah, I really believe before you go on an in-person first date, everyone will use video beforehand to kind of see if they vibe, if they have chemistry, if they feel safe, if they're attracted, and will be that platform that people use before their first in-person date and create connection and go from there.
So awesome. And, you know, you talked about in a few years, because the pandemic's changed things too, the way we do things as far as dating as well. And this idea, you actually had it before the pandemic, right? I mean, mm-hmm. This was something
years before. Yeah.
And so what was the process like, you know, getting your patent? Like, was that a big, I hear stories about that. Did you have to hire a lot of outside people? How did all that start up for you?
I mean, like in the beginning, I think a lot of it depends on the company, right? Like if you're, it depends what you're building. I don't want to put, it's like apples and oranges, depending on the product you're building. Like for us, I just wanted to do the cheapest way possible, just an LLC. Obviously when you raise money, it usually will be like an S corp. So they'll adjust the legal structure. We just wanted to get things up and running as quick as possible. I used LegalZoom. It was fairly straightforward because especially if you're raising money, venture capitalists want to know you have a corporation and it's a legal entity.
So I don't, and we'll wait till the end of the show to give out the link for the dating app, because I have a feeling we're going to go off from my career show to people that are watching this will want to be like, wait a minute, there's another dating app. Let me make sure I get this. And plus this sounds pretty cool. So I'm sure everybody's racing towards it right now. So let's get some of these questions that's come in from some students. One of the questions is how did you first, and I don't know if you've answered this already, but how did you first get into this? Like, the students ask them, where do they begin? They have an app idea. They want to make this in iTunes or wherever. Where should they begin, or where should they test this idea?
So where should they, if it's a technical product or, right? Like, again, it could be apples and oranges. If you want to build an app, you obviously have to be able to have the skill set to build it, whether you learn yourself or you find a partner, a co-founder who can build it. Oftentimes, you have to learn yourself because, especially in the beginning stages, a lot of times people may not necessarily want a partner. It's always easier hiring or bringing people on when you're very successful versus potentially in the beginning. But yeah, you need to have the skill set to build it, like anything. Like if you want to be a doctor, you need to go to medical school and learn. And it's like anything.
So one of the questions is, what are two of the keys in businesses to be successful?
To be successful, I would say to have integrity and be a good person. I think another thing is just living a really well-balanced life. Like if you don't take care of yourself, why would you think your business will be successful if you can't even take care of yourself? If you don't eat right, if you don't sleep right, if you don't have good relationships, and or if you're like a shady person, like eventually that stuff will come back and kind of like bite you in the butt. But so I think those are the most like two most important tenets to living a good life and being successful in life.
And then the next question comes in, looks like from a student. It says, I have a business idea already. I'm graduating high school. Is college necessary?
So again, I don't want to say it's not always necessary. Sometimes it's extremely necessary. Like, again, I don't want to make it black and white. I think there's a lot of gray, right? Like maybe you want to go to a community college just to kind of like figure out what you want to do. It's much more affordable. Maybe you want to take a gap year because you want to kind of, again, take a number of online courses that are free. Or maybe you need that structure and you want to go to college. Like I am extremely happy that I went to college. So I think it's really a case by case basis. And again, if you want to be entrepreneurial, a lot of entrepreneurs that are successful, it doesn't happen when they're often 20. It often happens when they're like 40, when they already have industry experience. They've worked for different companies. Maybe they've built amazing relationships and their network is much larger and they have money. So I think, again, it's a very loaded and complex question to unpack.
I agree with you. There's no, certainly you can go in. I know many people that have went in into without college and been very successful in business or in any other careers. College is not for everything, but I would say if you're on the, you're asking this question, I would go ahead and go because, let's say your business doesn't work out and then you've got a fallback plan with your 4-year degree where we can help you try to get a different type of career, or like you said, you can work on the side when you're in college. I mean, college isn't, you know, 24 hours a day. You're going to have some time to work. Why not make it a side hustle? See if you can get it going and then maybe jump right into it after you get your undergrad degree. But I think the follow-up question kind of answers where this particular person was going. It says, do you contribute any of your success to your learnings from college?
Yeah, the relationships I've made. I mean, not necessarily like, also, I could say that from college writing, I was a history major. I had to write so many essays. My writing improved significantly. If your writing is poor and you write a lot of emails, like there is a disadvantage for sure. Versus being concise. Like my bread and butter now is like PR, getting press. Like I mentioned, we got into New York Times twice, actually, BBC. I've been close to like 80 publications. If you're writing pitches that are poor, no publication will likely pick you up. Or if your subject lines are just not very good. So the same thing. So I think it's important to be able to learn how to write, learn how to critically think. So I think, yeah, college is very important.
Good. And then the next person asked, what was it? How do you get publications? What's the process about going through that? Getting press your business, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, from my angle, it's changed during this pandemic. In the very beginning of the pandemic, I pitched as a way to online date and while being socially distant. That was kind of like what I was really focused on, because every journalist, not every, but many journalists wanted to get stories out related to the pandemic, whether it was the pandemic itself or lifestyle or tech stories that are related to the pandemic. And Filter Off kind of fit that mold very nicely. But we've also have gotten press in different angles, right? So for example, for the election, we ran a Democrat and Republican date night. And so it was based off current events. And then we got another piece in the New York Times. They covered a piece around Republican daters and how they go about dating. And they interviewed a couple of our users and we got into the time. So the pitch has definitely adjusted based off current events, based off the environment. If we have new features, it could always shift. And then you have to reach out to reporters that cover that beat. So what I mean by that is in the very beginning, I was reaching out to reporters that were in the lifestyle and also technology. I'm not going to reach out to a reporter who does fashion, for example. Like that, they're going to disregard your email. So those, and so I get lists of reporters that focus on those specific sections and or those categories. Then I do outreach and try many different subject lines, and you learn. So I've run many campaigns during this time, and a lot of our press has come from just cold outreach.
And guys, that's hard work. I mean, that's emailing, that's hours spent, that's minutes. You know what Zach isn't saying? There's a lot of work behind that, a lot of time you're putting into it. And like you said, you trial and error, you see what works, see what doesn't, and what works you stick with. And a lot of that is a lot of work on the ground. So thanks for sharing that. So, you know, without further ado, so tell us where they can go find this. Tell us again, the name of it. Where can users go to load this on their phones or all that good stuff?
Yeah. So the name of that video speed dating app is called Filter Off. It's available for iOS and Android, and the web, it will be coming out very, very soon. So very excited about that. And if you're a community or organization and you want your members to be able to date, you could also create your own event totally free. And if you go to our website, getfilteroff.com, you'll see a tab called Run an Event, and you could create your own event from there.
So, and then can they follow your company or you on social media? Is there any, you have a webpage, anything like that?
Yeah. So, I'm on social, Zach Schlein on, if you just search my name, you'll see Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, same thing for our brand. We're on social, so you can follow us, learn, keep up to date. And when you join the app, you'll the opt-in to newsletter where we send, it's typically once every month or every other month where we send updates or things that we are pushing out in the near future. I think it's really important to really care about your user base, because that's how we've continued to learn, pivot, and grow, is just based off of what we think, but also what our users are looking for.
And so I'm going to violate one of my rules and ask this question, since it's come up about six times. That's not career related, but I'll go ahead and ask. Yeah. Is there, do you have to pay for this app?
It's totally free.
Gotcha. So that's come in like six times. So I'll violate my rule. And so it is free. So there we go. So, you know, Zach, this has been such an interesting point from a career development angle, as well as we can tell you're really passionate about it. It's amazing story when you think about it. And that's how businesses begin once you see a need in the marketplace. So thank you so much for your time. We know you're super busy, and we certainly enjoyed it and got a lot of good feedback from it.
Thank you so much, Zach, and thanks for everyone listening in.
Take care now. Have a great day.